show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past, present, and future.
High fly ball. Motley going back to the track. No outs to go. The Royals have won the 1985 World Series.
Davis comes to the plate. Strike three called. It's over. They've done it. The Royals are World Series champions. The world champion Kansas City Royals.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to the Kansas City Baseball Vault, brought to you by Kelly's Westport Inn Baseball Prospectus Affiliate. Folks, I'd like to say that we have some baseball stuff to talk about, but unfortunately, the baseball world has been very uncooperative for us podcasters. So we'll kind of give an update on where everything stands and some small rumors that have gone around, which is the majority of what we have to talk about. Before we get to that, the man who is always cooperative, Michael Engel, is with me. I, of course, am Jeff Herr. Mike, it's we've been blessed with a bit of a heat wave here in the Midwest. I believe it reached 25 degrees this morning or today. Ooh. So pretty pumped about that.
Yeah.
How are you doing on this rather chilly evening?
Oh, all right. You know, it's at least better than it was over the weekend, where like last Friday I went to the store and I made sure to buy enough so that I had no reason to have to leave the house for 3 days. And it was nice. It was not too bad. So
we went to visit some family on Saturday morning. We got back and I was like, I talked to my wife. I was like, do you see us going anywhere for any reason? She's like, no. I was like, okay, I'm putting on some sweatpants. Excuse me. And I'm not leaving this house. So.
Yeah.
When it's a low of -7, that's the that's the type of mentality that I have.
Yeah, it seems reasonable to me.
I'm glad it seems that way to somebody besides myself as well. So
I'm right there with you. I'm just like, nope, if I don't have to go out there in that, I'm not going to. So I didn't. And now it's, I don't know, it's getting better, maybe, kinda, not really.
Kinda maybe,
not
sort
much.
Of.
It's still cold, so.
It
That's,
is still cold.
What are you going to do? I don't know.
What are you going to do?
Hey,
well, I'll tell you what.
Speaking of cold
Major
things.
League, yeah.
The
I'll
hot
tell you what Major
stove.
League Baseball is not going to do, and that's sign baseball players.
I guess not.
They have decided they are averse to such things, which is, I mean, We had last week we talked about this, and then, you know, we had missed the week before. It was Christmas, and then the week before that we were supposed to record, but we couldn't work it out, and so it had been almost 3 weeks since we had recorded, and there was no news. Nothing really had changed, even missing that much time, and then now here we are, even a week later, and we're still basically exactly where we were. So. Which makes our lives difficult as podcasters, but we do have a tad bit of news. There has been a slight bit of intrigue in regards to Eric Hosmer and his situation. So he seems to be the mark. I mean, right now, to be honest, as far as – I don't know. Maybe I just haven't been paying as much attention as years past to the rest of baseball, since there's so many high-profile Royal free agents. But it feels like – not only just for us Royals fans, but just for baseball in general, Hosmer is kind of the biggest name that's even being talked about right now, because I haven't heard a ton. I guess there was some stuff about J.D. Martinez and the Red Sox that never really has materialized, at least not yet, to my knowledge. But like Yu Darvish, I mean, you haven't really heard a ton on his front, which seems odd, because I remember a couple of years ago people talking about how crazy, you know, when he becomes a free agent, how it's going to be. So the whole thing is strange. But anyway, back to Hosmer. So the initial thing that we kind of heard was Padres 6 years, $120 million was kind of – that was the first little whisper of the offseason. And if you are familiar with kind of the ins and outs of Scott Boras and Eric Hosmer and all that kind of stuff and how that – the that whole situation has played out, it kind of seems like that six-year, $20 million average annual value was what they were kind of aiming as the base of a contract, and that they would kind of – that's where they would start and kind of build from there. So seeing that is just – this seems almost like it was kind of the obligatory. Somebody has to make a first offer, and there it is, and then it kind of goes up from there. And then everything kind of cooled, and so it was like, well, did he make a mistake by not accepting that offer? Is he really going to get more than that? Because people, a lot of people were thinking maybe $150 million for a player like him. Who knows? Things kind of cooled, and then now this week we've been hearing all these rumors, rumors that there's a seven-year deal on the table for Eric Hosmer from the Padres for $140 million. Keep in mind, this is these are rumors. And then there was a follow-up rumor. Now, this is Bob Nightingale, I believe, is the one that had this. Is that right?
Yep.
So he had this rumor that the Royals had offered a counter offer, if you will, to try and come over the top of the Padres at 7 years, $147 million. Whew. So that's kind of where we stand. That's what has been kind of making the rounds this morning as far as the Hosmer news is concerned and really all baseball news. Yeah. So I don't know what the hell is going on, and I don't know that anybody else in baseball does either. So I don't know if the cold weather has – I mean, it's a nationwide thing. It's not just the Midwest. There's been cold – some Arctic winds I heard brushed in and gave us a cold blast, and I don't know if it's just chilled everybody from trying to make moves or what, but man, ain't nothing happening in the world of baseball, Mike. It's sad, saddening.
It's just so strange. Like, I mean, I understand that like there are tactics to delay, and to, you know, it is something that can drive down prices and contract values, and intentional or not, you know, that's what the owners are doing, and you know, you kind of wait for somebody to blink. But I mean, it's just like last time. I mean, since in the last week, Wade Davis ended up signing with the Rockies. So that's a thing, but that's it. It's still, you know, he's really the one of the only guys of any note to sign a contract. And even that was a 3-year deal. Like nobody's surpassed 4 years so far. So they're just not doing it. Things just are ground to a halt. And that's kind of why this Hosmer offer, like, you know, first the 6 years, 120 from the Padres, which we talked about last time, just felt weird because the Padres aren't in really a good spot to be going after somebody, you know, a big name guy. But, you know, if they, the heart wants what it wants, and that's what they're going for, then more power to them. In 6 years, you know, they have enough talent to maybe have it turn around within that time frame. But it's still kind of weird. And so that, on top of the context of nobody else getting an offer like that so far, just kind of it's confusing, really, to have to pay attention to it, because I just don't know where that's coming from. It's a weird team for it to come from and whatever. The Royals, though, I mean, they're obviously interested. They've said publicly that they would love to have Hosmer back, and some of the reporting has been that, you know, he's kind of the key guy that they would love to bring back over anybody else. And so a 7-year deal at $21 million per average season, that works out. That makes sense. That kind of fits that narrative. But it's also seems like that's just kind of out of nowhere. And, you know, it's just a strange thing. But at the same time, you know, you feel like, you know, what do we know about the Royals front office? They're stealthy, you know. It's very rare that there's a lot of steam on them being after somebody, unless it's like super obvious. But you know, guys like Jason Vargas and Kendrys Morales and others, you know, over the last couple of years, they just kind of make an announcement. by the way, we've signed this guy, and that's it. You don't hear a whole lot of rumors about it. You heard more about, like, Alex Gordon when he was a free agent briefly, but that's more because he was always a Royal, and I think that the interest was obviously going to be there. He fit a need. He fit the clubhouse, and everything was right. So, of course, it was easy to speculate on that, and it's kind of the same thing with Hosmer. But this is the first time that we've had, like, an actual report of an offer and any kind of terms and any kind of, like, concrete information to grab onto beyond, oh, they're interested. Oh, they're interested. This team's talked to him. You know, the Cardinals have kind of popped up as a potential suitor also. So maybe there's like three teams floating around, the Royals, the Padres, and the Cardinals. But, you know, I really did figure once that report first kind of popped up, I was getting ready for work, and I figured by the time I got to work, they'd be making the announcement, because that's just kind of how the Royals operate. If there's any kind of smoke, the fire shoots up almost immediately.
The fire's already out. Yeah, it's already rolling.
It's like, yeah, you're it's like backdraft. You open the door to inspect, and you're just blown back. And yes. So it just kind of hung there all day. And so, of course, everybody on Twitter and everywhere else was debating the merits of, you know, that kind of a deal, and a lot of people thought maybe that's an overspin, maybe it's too many years. But, yeah, I mean, it's at least something. But the other part of it is that Dayton Moore wouldn't comment at all on it, which is not surprising. You know, I don't. When you're in open negotiations, I don't know that you're going to have a whole lot of stuff to say about that. And it ended up that towards the afternoon, Sam Mellinger wrote a column about Hosmer and the potential fit, and he came out and said that there is no offer. So, you know, I think when you think about it, the hot stove season comes out with this really nice rumor of the Royals maybe going after Hosmer, and pretty aggressively, especially if they're coming over the top of a Padres offer. And then it's just taken right away from us by local reporting. So I don't really know what to think. The distinction for me is that Nightingale's report was based off of sources close to Hosmer. And I have to assume that Mellinger's source is probably someone in the Royals, or maybe a scout in the know, or, you know, I don't know who his sources are, but, you know, he's been writing in Kansas City for years and years and years. So I imagine he knows some people. So I, you know, if I'm forced to choose between the two, I have to kind of lean towards Sam Mellinger and his reporting, because I just feel like he's closer to the situation. I also have to think about, like, who benefits most by that kind of report being out there. And when it's out of character for the way the market's developed, and it's kind of out of character for the Royals, I mean, 7 years and $147 million is probably right for Hosmer. Maybe it's $15 million heavy or something, but, you know, that's in the range of where you might expect something. But it just, it felt weird to me. It just felt like it was a jump right away. So, you know, that's kind of what I've had in my head all day, thinking about this kind of contract offer, reported contract offer, is just kind of how it actually fits within how things are going right now, with Hosmer, with the Royals, with everything else. So I'm not sure what to think right now.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing, kind of wrinkle in the situation, is you always wonder, at least I do, in terms of when offers are out and rumors are out, and a team like the Royals, who honestly, as you kind of mentioned, detailing some of their past moves that we had no idea about and just kind of happened, I mean, the Royals are probably the best, if, you know, one of the best, if not the best, in Major League Baseball in terms of just keeping that news really quiet, for whatever that's worth. But it's also a situation where I'm like you, I'm inclined to believe Mellinger. Obviously, he's been around Kansas City for a long time, done a lot of reporting, has a lot of contacts. But at the same time, I do kind of wonder, when it comes to the Royals and how they like to handle these situations, what do they consider an offer. You know, when they say that offer, mm-hmm. we have not made an offer to Eric Hosmer, does that mean that we haven't written up a formal offer sheet and sent it to his agent? Or does that mean we haven't discussed any terms? You know, because it's easy to say, like,
right.
go up to Scott, you know, Scott Boras and be like, Scott, what do you and Eric think about a 7-year, $147 million deal if you're the Royals? And then, you know, is that an offer? Is it not an offer?
Technically, it's not an offer.
Right? Exactly. So if Mellinger calls somebody in the Royals office and they say, you know, oh, we haven't made that offer, then, you know, and this is nothing to say against Mellinger's reporting because I believe it to be accurate. But I'm just saying that it can be a way to kind of play with words, if you will, for the Royals front office so that they can do something but then say they're not doing it and have, you know, what plausible deniability, if you will. So – there's, you know, well, there's no actual offer there. You know, we haven't made an offer. We haven't made an offer. And that may be true, but it doesn't mean they haven't discussed terms or any of that kind of stuff. And they've almost certainly mm-hmm. done that. Whether 7 years, $147 million is exactly what they've discussed or not, that, you know, is obviously unclear. But they've almost certainly – it would be in poor form and shocking to me if the Royals had not discussed any terms at all. So with Hosmer. And Boras. So I mean, I don't know, man. I guess we'll see. I suppose. I mean, eventually he's going to sign somewhere.
I think so. Yeah.
I think at this off season you don't know, but I mean, we kind of thought, I think, that there was a chance, you know, Hosmer could be. I guess I should say, I wouldn't have been shocked if Hosmer would have been the first to sign of the Royals. Excuse me, of the Royals free agents. I also wouldn't have been shocked if he would have been the last to sign, just because maybe there was a bidding war, maybe he, you know, the price got pretty high and some teams backed out, new teams joined in, etc. So either one of those eventualities would have probably been, you know, neither one would have surprised me. So it doesn't necessarily surprise me where we're at now, but there's just been, because of the fact that Hosmer's pretty much had the only smoke of any player, I guess with the exception of J.D. Martinez, of any kind of the marquee free agents, you know, it's just really – I always wonder in these situations, what are the players doing? What are the players thinking? You know, someone like Lorenzo Cain, right, who he's a little bit older than Moose and Haas, you know, 3 years older, 3-4 years older. This is kind of his one shot, right? So, you know, Hosmer at 28 years old, when next season starts, he signs a 6-year contract. You know, when he's 34 years old, he'll get another contract. You know, it might not be a 6-year, $120 million contract, you know, but he'll sign a 2-3-year deal for, you know, $30 million, maybe, you know, a Carlos Beltran type deal, the deals that he's been signing the last few years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he can still make money. He can still go on. And then he could also even sign a 6-year deal with an opt-out after 3 years. And he's still only 31 and he can still go out and make good money if he's had really good seasons. So there's a lot of options for someone like him, but someone like Lorenzo Cain at 31 years old, if he were to sign a contract that was, 5 years, let's say, for, I don't know, $80 million, then, you know, by the time he gets out of that, he's 36. So, again, he can probably find a contract, but his value is going to be a lot lower because that 31 to 36, there's going to be a lot more decline in the skill set than the 28 to 32 or 28 to 33 years. So I always wonder, what's Lorenzo Cain thinking right now when – you know, it just so happens that it's a really slow off season. He's the one caught up in it. Like, what has he heard? Surely they've talked to some teams, but it hasn't been big enough to make any national rumors or anything like that. So, you know, is he just sitting there twiddling his thumbs, talking to his agent? Who's his agent, by the way? Do you know who's agent? I don't know who his agent is.
He changed it from who he came up with. He was with Josh Kuznick originally. He's not, it's not like a Boras type of guy that I know, but I don't know off the top of my head. Maybe he ought to be with Boras.
Yeah, exactly. Or who's the guy that Alex Gordon's agent? What's his name?
Oh, geez, I knew Casey Close.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
he's kind of like the second. He's the the mini Scott Boris, if you will. I guess he's because he's basically the second most prominent agent in terms of, I guess I don't know if I said prominent is the right word, but in terms of clients and deals and all that kind of stuff. I remember when Alex Gordon was going through all those negotiations, people were talking about how good of an agent he had for these types of negotiations. So one of those two, maybe, but I don't know. Apparently not. So
yeah, I don't remember I was just who he changed.
Lorenzo Cain, this is the most important offseason of his life. Mm-hmm. And it's just like nothing. Sorry. That's got to be frustrating. It's got to be really frustrating.
I imagine so. I mean, as like you said, that's his one shot to really do it. And, you know, I remember when he signed his 2-year deal to kind of finish out his service time with the Royals. You know, they were negotiating, or at least he was asking about like a 6-year deal, which would have covered his last 2 years of arbitration and then 4 years to keep him as a Royal. And it was just like, well, the Royals weren't going to do that because they'd be paying a guy into his mid-30s, long-term contract, and they had just signed Alex Gordon. So, you know, it's reasonable that they didn't want to do that with two players. But he's in that position everywhere. The only kind of saving grace in that is that a lot of the other center fielders and outfielders are similar in age, or at least the guys who are younger aren't really as high in stature as Kane has been with, you know, all-star games and playoff appearances and just defensive ability. He's got a lot to offer, but the age thing is probably going to be something that I can't imagine a team's going to go more than 3 or 4 years, which is, I mean, fine for the Royals because that probably covers that $50 million and gets them their first-round pick. But the way it's going, until something happens, you can't really sit there and say, oh, he's going to get that offer. So, yeah, he's got to be waiting too, along with, you know, Hosmer, who's apparently getting these offers. And, I don't know. It's just kind of a weird offseason in that sense. There's just nothing coming out about Kane. The Giants were interested or reportedly interested, but they've been talking about other outfielders. And, you know, until some of those guys start to go, I don't think anybody has any urgency to act. So everybody's kind of waiting, and maybe Hosmer, if he does have an actual offer, you know, I think 7 years and the way things are unfolding right now, I got to think you got to take it. If it's an actual offer, I mean, Ken Rosenthal mentioned something about they'd still maybe be looking for 8 years, but man, I think you got to kind of take what is offered if it's close. You know, not to like shave off 75 cents on the dollar, but, you know, $21 million a year for a guy with Hosmer's track record and, you know, some inconsistencies is a pretty fair deal for him. Like you said, there might be an opt-out in there, probably not from the Royals. I think the Royals would be silly to offer an opt-out because he would take it, and then the whole idea that they have to bring him back wouldn't even matter because they want him around for that second or third or fifth or ninth wave of prospects,
right,
as they rebuild. You know, if he opts out after 3 years, well, he's obviously going to miss most of those guys because
right,
the guys who are going to help the Royals get back are probably in A-ball right now or double-A, and they're still a couple years off. So, yeah, I don't know. Going back briefly to your point about kind of the reporting of it. It does. There's not much reason to, you know, say that Mellinger has to be right. And, you know, that maybe there was some negotiation with those kind of numbers in mind. Nightingale, I don't want to say that Bob Nightingale doesn't have this right or anything like that. I'm sure his source told him, and it's a believable source, but it, yeah, at the same time, it just does seem like, you know, there's maybe it's not as firm as it's being reported. So,
right.
We'll have to really.
There's always that.
I just don't know. It's such a weird story to develop and then just kind of like falter back down. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just so strange.
It popped up and then nothing. And, maybe it'll change by tomorrow. But I got to think that if Hosmer has 7 years available to him, you know, that's a pretty big score. You know, the only thing that I could think is, you know, if it's something like with the Cardinals or the Padres, maybe they would offer an opt out, and that's something that's being negotiated between all sides. And, you know, because my initial thought when, you know, we knew that the Royals weren't going to extend him was that, you know, at the time we felt like he was going to go to the Yankees because, well, it seemed obvious from the day he stepped on a Major League Baseball field that he was going to go to the Yankees eventually and hit 50 homers in that stadium. And I felt like he was going to sign like a 3-year deal or sign like a 7-year deal and opt out after a couple years and hit the market again. But I don't think the Royals are going to be offering that kind of a deal. The Padres probably shouldn't offer that kind of a deal. Maybe the Cardinals can, and I don't know. I guess my hunch is that there's the source close to Hosmer in the initial report is probably someone close to Scott Boras as well. And maybe that's cynical of me, but it sure seems interesting that the all the reports of these offers has been $20 million, $21 million a year in 6 or 7 years. You know, it's like priming everybody to the idea that that's where the market is and that's where it needs to be. And that's just where the negotiations are going to take place. So my cynical mind really thinks that Scott Boras has a lot of, you know, a lot of whispers to throw around. And that's kind of helping some of this. But, you know, it's right in the range. It's not like it's outlandish. Yeah.
I'm inclined to agree with you, and that's part of kind of like what I was saying earlier about how the 6 for $120 or you know the more so the $20 million average annual value, that being kind of the baseline makes mm-hmm. me even more inclined to agree with you that, oh wow, that's magically what the rumor is, that it's exactly what everyone kind of thought would be the starting point, you know. So it's beneficial. You know, like what you were talking about earlier, you know, who benefits from this rumor being out there? Well, Hosmer benefits is pretty much the only conclusion here because, you know, it's a lot of money for – so, I mean, that paying that much money if you're the Royals or the Padres is, you know, it's going to sting a little bit, but you're hoping to get a good player in return. But, you know, also – Like you mentioned, neither the Royals nor the Padres are in a position to where you think they're going to compete next year. So, you know, Hosmer is going to be going from a team that he was part of the rebuild into a championship team, and then kind of cycling back through and going to a rebuild. One where if it's between Padres and Royals, he's going back. He's going into essentially the same situation, mm-hmm. With you know the added familiarity of Kansas City. So. You know, it's he and Scott Boras benefit the most because it's out there that at least two teams are interested for $20 million a year. So mm-hmm. if you are, you know, if you were the Yankees or were the Red Sox, you know, they seem to kind of be out of the picture for Eric Hosmer at this point. But if you were those teams or a team that really wanted him, then you'd say, okay, we got to move on Hosmer, and we got to come in over the top of $20 million a year because we know that's what's already been offered. And it's interesting when you talk about the opt out. I kind of go back and forth on this because you think if you're the Royals, like there's a line of thinking that you were talking about, which I agree with, which is if you're the Royals, maybe you offer. Maybe you try and add maybe an extra year or something, or maybe a little bit more money, but then no opt out, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, if you're signing, you're committing to this team and this organization essentially for your entire career. So that's option one. And then the other option, which I also kind of agree with, is if you're the Royals and you're in a rebuilding situation and you know you may not be in a position to compete for the next couple of years, then you say, hey, stick it out with us. You know, we'll sign a 6-year contract, give you all this money, help us rebuild, see if we can turn this into a competitive, see if we can turn things around faster than expected. If we can, great, you're here, you're in it. If not, then you can opt out after 3 years, peace out. You're still 31 years old and you can still get a good contract somewhere else, you know, or you can, or they, you know, it cannot work out and you can still not choose to opt out and just take your money and just, you know, be George Brett circa 1989 to 1994. You know, that's nothing, yeah. Nothing wrong with that either. So there are some options there. And I kind of agree with both lines of thinking, to be honest, where, you know, you, one way or another, the Royals need to sweeten the deal somehow, because the only thing the Royals have going for them now is the warm fuzzies that come right. with the organization that you won a championship with. But I wonder sometimes, too, from the player's perspective, do they have that connection to an organization because they won a championship there? You know, especially a player like Hosmer, who was kind of born and raised, if you will, in the as a baseball player, a professional baseball player in the Royals organization and won that championship. Or is it something where everyone, you know, you at least want to win one championship in your career, and then after that, you say, okay, I did it. I won one. I was an integral piece of it.
Let's go get that paper.
I'm all about this money now. Exactly. Exactly. I you know. If I'm honest with myself, I think I would be the latter of those two. I would try desperately to win a World Series, and I would make some sacrifices. But once I think I won that World Series, I'd probably just be like, you know what? Not that I would not try as hard or not try to be good at baseball anymore, but I'd be like, you know what? I reached the pinnacle of the sport. I'm going to go, and I'm going to get that money. So I don't know. To be honest, you know, I really don't know. And that's why me personally, I never fault any player for trying to go after the money.
No.
Even if they haven't won a championship, you know, I mean, you don't have to have that mentality, but these things are fleeting. So, man, I don't know. But,
right. On that kind of note, I always feel like I think about this a lot, where I think about, like, you know, how many jobs I've had and for how long I've been in them. And I'm like, man, like, Eric Hosmer's been a professional baseball player since 2008. And it's like, you know, I haven't even been at a job for 10 years at a time. You know, it's,
yeah.
You know, been at my current job for 6, and that time's gone quickly, but it's like, it's, you know, it's only 6 years. And it was like, dang,
yeah.
You know, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, granted, Eric Hosmer is compensated quite differently than
quite
I
different.
Am.
Yes.
Just a bit. So, I mean, that's a nice incentive to continue in that line of work. But I always wonder where it's like, I'm kind of surprised you don't see more players in baseball. You just kind of like, okay, well, I'm 29. I could still play, but I'm kind of done. You know, where you've made $90 million over, you know, you debuted at 21 and played a few years and signed a short free agent contract and whatever. And then you just kind of, oh, I'm done. You know, you kind of
yeah,
see
like
that.
Jason Hayward. Like if Jason Hayward just this year was like, you know what?
I'm done.
That's it. I'm out. Peace. Cause he was a guy, he's like 20 years old when he came up. Right. I mean,
yeah.
He was really young.
He was young.
Signed up. And that's why I remember a couple of years ago, it was such a big deal for him being a free agent. Cause he was like 26 or 27. And it's rare that you can sign someone to a 6 or 7 year deal at that age and get
yeah.
even more of their prime. So, which
but
is why
the Uptons,
you know,
the Uptons were both
yeah.
very young too.
Yes, exactly. And then next year we look at free agency and the Manny Machado and Bryce Harper and those guys that came up when they were 19, 20 years old. I mean, it's going to be a bonanza next year. They're just going to be just making it rain with that money
yeah.
in free agency market. So that'll be interesting. Hopefully that'll next year will be more exciting than this year. But there, believe it or not, beyond Eric Hosmer, there are still other free agents out there. and you know, we've talked a lot about Moose and Kane, and, you know, we've kind of touched on them a little bit more, Kane than Moose this episode so far, but, those are not even the only Royals free agents out there, Mike. Perhaps should we do it? Should we check in on the Alcides Escobar and Jason Vargas free agent front? Let's shall we?
Yeah, let's see. Here's the latest on their markets.
So okay, So that's their market. And I mean, you could probably apply that honestly to every market, but
yeah,
they're down the list quite a ways because the list is long since there have been no signings, and they're not moving up the list because of the lack of movement here. So it's been, man, this has been such a weird year, and I don't even know what it is. And I haven't, have you seen like from any of the national guys, any theories on why it's been so quiet? I just haven't seen anything or on just why it's been so slow this year. And cause I remember I was looking, I think it was Craig Calcaterra was talking about how he has an annual article that he does about this time where it's like top 25 moves of the off season. And he said, it's just a laugher this year because there's not even 25 moves worth mentioning. So,
sign Willie Peralta.
Yeah, right? I mean, we're not the only ones that have noticed this. All the national guys are talking about it. But have you heard? I haven't heard any theories on why it's been so quiet.
Jeff Passan had a few things. You know, some of them were just like, well, there's, you know, just people are waiting it out. You know, the qualifying offer thing is still, you know, you still have to lose a pick even if it's not as high. It was probably in like early December when he wrote this too, so I mean it's like since it's even crazier, you know, it's an even slower market. So I'm not I'm just not sure, you know, what I don't remember what all he said, but I think there was maybe also some idea of teams trying to maneuver to get under the luxury tax, which we talked a little bit last week, but not super in depth. But just like the Yankees and Dodgers in particular, where they're just trying to, you know, they have rosters that can get by this year without really having to add big name free agents. And so if that means that they can kind of keep their payroll down this year and not really miss a beat. The Yankees in particular, they just have a lot of young players and, you know, just can kind of make it work. And the Dodgers too. I mean, Seager and Bellinger and everybody else. And that's a big part too, where you just don't have those teams that are usually in the mix for everybody, just not getting that involved. And so that's going to have an impact too. Plus, they're trying to set up for next year. Like you said, Machado and Harper and Josh Donaldson's out there. And Kershaw, technically, though, I'm pretty sure he's probably going to sign a deal with the Dodgers to stay there. But, you know, just a ton of those names next year, whereas this year, you know, J.D. Martinez is a really good outfielder, but he's not Bryce Harper. You know, Eric Hosmer's pretty good, but he's not Manny Machado.
Definitely not.
I mean, it's just like the names are so big, and like that's where those big market teams are going to be looking next year. And so it just takes them out of needing, you know, these other players. And if they don't have to add $20 million to their payroll, why are they going to do it? And I think that makes a lot of sense. But at the same time, it's like, you know, if people signed like around Christmas in other years, that felt late. And now you've got like the biggest names, like half the top 10 guys are not even close to anything. You know, at least Darvish has kind of bounced around the Cubs. He's talked to the Twins. I think he's talked to maybe the Yankees. So, I mean, you know, he hasn't been a ghost, but he just hasn't really come up with any real, you know, real offer or nothing super strong. You know, Martinez is out there, and I think he has an actual 5-year offer from the Red Sox reportedly, so maybe that's something. But, you know, other than those two and Hosmer, there just hasn't been a lot on anybody, and it's just stuck. And some of that is, you know, yeah, there are teams that just want to, you know, kind of lay low this off season, but, you know, there's everything else. It's, you know, teams just not that excited to sign these guys. So I don't know how it's going to end up, but it sure is making everything boring. And for guys like, you know, if Hosmer and Kane are frustrated, or, you know, Kane and Moustakas maybe more so, because there really hasn't been a whole lot offer-wise for them reportedly. You know, guys like Vargas and guys like Escobar, I can't even imagine what they're thinking, because it's hard to see where you land. You know, it's going to be one of those spots where you kind of take what you can get, because otherwise there might not be something. So if you want to make an actual team, yeah, they might be looking at one-year deals or something by, you know, this time next month, or maybe even around when spring training starts up, just because, you know, Jake Arrieta is still out there. So many other pitchers are available, and Escobar has not been that good over the last couple of years. So who's really going to be jumping up and down to try to get to Alcides Escobar when, you know, his peak wasn't really that great of a player either. So 3 years, removed from that, what are you going to be willing to invest? You know, if you find that the music stops and you still need a shortstop, well, sure. But, I mean, I can't imagine he's going to make more than, like, $4 million next season, no matter how it shakes out, just because he made $6.5 million last year. He had a career low walk rate. He had a career high strikeout rate, and he doesn't steal bases anymore. So market for a slow shortstop who can't hit?
He'll probably make $4 million because, to be honest, that's probably what he's worth. You know, no offense to Escobar. He gave a lot of good memories, a lot of good things for the Royals. So, you know, thanks, but you got to be realistic about what he is. And a top flight player, he is not. Not anymore, and not that he ever was. He was just a solid player who could do some things really, really well.
Yeah, he was really good when you've got a lot of other top 10 caliber prospects debuting at the same time. And that's perfectly fine. There's a role for that type of guy everywhere.
Yeah.
I think Jeffrey Flanagan had a report last week kind of talking about Escobar. I think specifically, maybe Vargas was mentioned. I don't recall. But he specifically kind of noted that, you know, the Royals would maybe be looking for him more as like a backup. And maybe they're completely ready to go with Raul Mondesi. Now, you know, in practice, it's still Ned Yost managing the team. So that'll be a tough sell. But if that's kind of the approach and the mindset, well, that's pretty interesting. I don't really hate that because, I mean, it's not great. I mean, but it allows you to at least make, like, with Mondesi, he can play second. Whit Merrifield could play third. And so if you needed to put Escobar short, you could make it work. It's just not ideal for anyone. And I think the Royals probably benefit most not even worrying about Escobar and just letting Mondesi do his thing and sink or swim without having to worry about, you know, going 0 for a series and not playing again, you know, like last year, basically. So I think there's some kind of benefit to that, to just the opportunity to play Mondesi and find out is kind of a benefit of not signing Escobar. So maybe that keeps the Royals away from him. And, you know, that's tough. I was telling people during the season, you know, it's like next year you're going to have to find a team that loves Alcides Escobar more than the Royals, and that's tough to see. So if the Royals aren't that interested,
especially 31-year-old Escobar, however old he is now.
Right.
Is he 31?
Right. Yeah, he'll be 31 in – he just turned 31, actually.
Okay.
A couple weeks ago. I just don't see where he goes. You know, I just can't imagine he's going to land somewhere that great. He only plays shortstop. I'm sure he could play second, but, you know, it is a different position, so.
Yeah. I mean, and like you said, I you know, backup role seems to be probably where he would be at. And he'd be a really good backup at this point in his career. Or, you know, you look at as a possible starter on, like, a rebuilding team. You know, maybe he can provide some leadership, some experience on a particular rebuilding team. Maybe the Padres. I don't know. You never know with them. You know, as you said, the heart wants what it wants. So who knows? But, it's just that the free agent market was going to be slow for people like Escobar and Vargas anyway. So this has to make it worse. And they may be just kind of a during spring training signing at the rate we're going, because we were talking about it last episode. I mean, we're like 6 weeks away from pitchers and catchers reporting, so it's getting pretty late in the offseason, because it is crazy to think about what you said, that you're, you know, in past years, Christmas seemed like a late time for the big marquee free agents, but we're well past Christmas and none of them have even, there's not been even rumors. So besides the Hosmer and Martinez rumors.
Yeah. Which aren't, you know, the strongest in the world.
No, just kind of typical rumors.
Yeah. I do like, I like the idea of Vargas. Like I'm not opposed to bringing him back. I kind of think there's a benefit to bringing someone that, you know, is going to be able to jump into your rotation. Cause the Royals do need depth there. You know, I wouldn't say you're looking to do anything above what he paid last year, the way things are going. You know, he got $8 million last year, had a good season, had that rough July, you know, kind of picked it back up in late August and September. So the overall numbers look pretty good. But, I think the main benefit is that you don't have to try to march out, you know, guys who have no business being at the big leagues yet or at all, and trying to see if they can make it. You know, I think there's one thing for a player getting experience at the big league level, and there's another kind of view of just, does it really benefit someone to go up and just get crushed every fifth day for four innings and then not really make any progress, and then what do you have left? You know, someone with little confidence that they can actually do it at this level. And, you know, there will probably be injuries, so that could help spell some of those. So if he's still out there in, you know, 4 weeks, I think the Royals would maybe look at it, but I can't imagine he's going to get much either. He's about 35 years old himself. So, you know, there's not a whole lot of a market for a 35 year old who throws about, you know, 86.
Yeah. You know? I mean, if you said, give me Jason Vargas for 2 years, $12 million, maybe 15, maybe on the high end. I'd definitely be interested in that, because exactly like you said, you know what you're going to get with him. You know, it was, he did have that kind of bad stretch last year, but he started putting it back together a little bit. And, you know, even at his age, he's not going to eat as many innings as he has in the past. But, you know, if you can get 150 to 180, somewhere in that range of innings from him at his age of four ERA, pitching, then for that, for $12 million over 2 years, that's worth the money for sure. So I'd be interested in that. Definitely. I mean, I don't know about you. Is that too much even for you?
I would say that's probably a little much. Just I wouldn't do any more than a year for him. But, you know, a year at $6 million is reasonable.
Yeah, I only said two because the Royals seem to always do two-year deals with players like that.
2 years partially, with a mutual option.
Yeah, exactly. Partially, too, because it's, you know, tough to get people to agree to come to Kansas City. Although it's easier than it was when they had to make a lot of those, a lot more of those deals, but...
Yeah, and they always like to make that – they always like to stack that second year higher so they can save the payroll for this year. So they would probably split that. If it was 2 for $12 million, they would probably do like 4.5 and 7.5 or something.
Do 4 and 8 and then have a $2 million buyout or something on a second year deal. And then – so it's like, okay, so if we don't want you for the second year, you make $6 million total instead of $4 million. I mean –
yeah,
maybe. I could handle that.
yeah, that's not bad.
I mean, honestly, in today's, if you got 150 innings of 4.0 ERA pitching, that's worth $6 million in today's baseball, especially from a left-handed pitcher.
Yeah. So, and he's never thrown hard either, so it's not like, you know, it's not like he was throwing 94 and now 86 is drop.
Yeah, like he has to relearn how to pitch or anything. He's always kind of had to deal with that velocity.
Right.
So
I don't know. I think he's, you know, he's probably on their radar, but definitely not someone they're looking at until they have to. But I wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. And I think he'd fit in pretty nicely as a number four, number five guy on a lot of teams, for that exact reason. Like, you know, if he makes 25 starts and gives you 5-6 innings each, you're sitting in okay position. You're not too bad if he's not, you know, giving up home runs all the time. He's probably doing okay. It's a nice veteran move and low risk, you know, decent reward, but, you know, it's probably not at a contract that you're finding difficult to get away from if he sucks. You know, if he just completely bombs out, you're not going to be crippled by Jason Vargas's 1-year deal. I hope.
No, no. I mean, unless you really value that 150 innings of 4.0 ERA.
Right. Which reminds me of people talking about him deserving a qualifying offer this offseason, which, my goodness. I mean, we talked about that back in October, I think. No, you don't offer him a qualifying offer because he would take it, and then you have to pay him $17 million. So if we're both around like $6 million is where we want, you sure don't want to pay him 3 times that much. So
no, I mean,
good choice on the Royals there.
Yeah, if they gave him a 3-year deal for $17 million, I'd still be a little leery about that. But 1 year is just ludicrous. I don't care how good his first half of the season was last year.
Right. He did lead the majors in wins, though.
That's true.
Pitcher win is a very important statistic.
That's super important. The most important, some would say.
Some would.
Yes. So I think that about covers it. I mean,
yeah.
I don't even know what else is out there to talk about in the world of baseball.
There's not a lot. Not a lot at all. I mean, unless Eric Hosmer is signed in the last hour since we've been recording, which
I assume somebody would have said something to some of us.
Right. It's true. That's fair. Yeah. I think you're right.
But
doesn't look like it.
No. But so I think we'll end there. But a little bit of news for the kind of some internal news, if you will, for the BP Kansas City site today. Clint Scholes has finished his 2018 Royals prospect guide, so that will now be available to get. What is it? Is it $5? Is that what he said?
It's $5. I think you get $5. A depth chart, top 60 prospects, scouting reports, information. There's a little write up from Dave Leske. Clint is. I mean, he's got, like, all kinds of Royal scouts and personnel in his phone. He can just, you know, there's so many times where he's like, yeah, I was just texting with Lonnie Goldberg, the scouting director. And it's like, you know, you're not going to find a lot of people who do this independently who are as connected as Clint to those minor league channels. And,
I don't necessarily follow the minor league guys for many other teams as much, especially not as close as I follow Clint, obviously, but I'd be hard pressed to imagine there's any non-professional, you know, beat writer or something who's more in tune with the minor league system than Clint is with the Royals one.
I would agree with that. I mean, there are some that are very, very good.
Yeah, that's not a slight to any of them. It's just more of a talking about how good
Clint's
is.
Just that great. So it's $5. I don't think they have like an actual link yet, but he did post it on his Twitter. So
yes.
If you go to Clint Scholes, Scholes, you can definitely find it. And if not, just holler at us. We'll get you.
Yeah,
we got
the link. We'll hit you up with it and let you as soon as. Yeah, I'm not certain that it's up yet, but he told us today that it was finished. So if it's not up yet, it will be up very shortly, and it'll be available for $5. So if you're interested,
$5. And skip a coffee.
Skip a coffee if you're interested in catching up on the Royals system. I know if you're like Mike and I, then you've moved away from following the minor league system as closely the last few years because the Royals have been good enough to pay attention to the major league team. So if you want to get caught back up on the things that have happened with the last couple of years, this is definitely the best place to do it, and it's only $5. Yeah. So definitely check that out from Clint. Fantastic stuff. And then don't stop there. Keep going. Back to BP Kansas City again. Always take no time off for BP Kansas City. Always great content on there. All of our fantastic writers giving us stuff. putting it out there constantly. Unfortunately, hasn't been a ton of stuff to really give too many hot takes on, if you will. But hopefully soon there'll be more news. But even still, a testament to our great writers to still be able to put out quality content with this little amount of things happening in the world of baseball. So be sure to visit BP Kansas City. Check out that prospect guide, all the other good content on there. And then if you're out, it's cold, I know, but it's supposed to warm up this weekend. Chiefs got a playoff game. If you want to go to – it starts at 3:30 on Saturday. I'm actually going to the game myself. Actually, I think it starts at 3:20, but I'm actually going to the game myself. But if anybody if you're looking for a good place to watch a game, Kelly's is also always a fantastic time. One of my best Kelly's memories was 2014 going to the game. It was the White Sox, right, they played?
Was it the playoff clincher?
Yes.
Yeah, they were in Chicago.
Yep. So they clinched the playoff spot. We were there. It was just jam-packed in Kelly's. There was so much blue.
It was so,
so cool. Much. It was everyone was sweaty, runner jumping around. I think Danny Parkins was still here, so he brought a champagne bottle.
He ran to Gomer's in the middle of the game to get champagne.
That's what it was. Okay. Yeah, and he brought it. Once it was apparent they were going to win, and dousing everybody with champagne, that was just such a fun time. So.
Class of 99 from Rockhurst was there.
Oh, yep. State champions of life, right? Oh, jeez. Yeah. So.
Never forget.
Never forget. Nope, indeed. So, the but, you know, Chiefs, at this point, the Chiefs are more starved for – they won a playoff game a couple years ago, first time in a couple decades. But they're more starved for playoff excellence than the Royals – than the Royals are at this point. I don't know if you could say that the Royals were as of a couple of years ago, but so if you're looking for a good place to watch it, that's going to be fun. It's going to have a lot of people. It's going to be a great atmosphere. Kelly's is your place. So this Saturday, you know, it's not a Sunday like normal Chiefs games. You don't have to go to work the next day. So go out, have a good time, go to Kelly's. As always, be safe, be responsible. Take care of yourselves and each other, because we want you to be able to keep listening to this podcast, because eventually we'll have some more baseball news to talk about and you'll want to hear about it. So be sure to be safe when you go out to Kelly's and watch the Chiefs or the Royals or whoever, and have a good time. So with that, we'll leave you. Thank you all so much for listening. We love you all. Can't do it without you. We appreciate all your listeners and interacting on Twitter and Facebook and all the rest so much. So stay tuned. Hopefully some more baseball and Royals news will happen, and we can talk about it next week, and that's when we'll see you. So until then, we'll see you next week. And as always, go Royals.
Thank you for listening to the Kansas City Baseball Vault. You can follow us on Twitter at KC Baseball Vault. You can also find us on Baseball Prospectus Kansas City at bpkansascity.com. You can follow BPKC on Twitter at bprokansascity. Also, you can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, through Stitcher, or whatever podcast app you like. And if you have any questions, comments, or if you just want to say hi, send those emails to kansascitybaseballvault@gmail.com.